thought crime.
If you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself but not the enemy, for every victory gained you will also suffer a defeat. If you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle.
If a decision is made by a centralized authority, it's going to represent the interests of a particular group in power. If power is actually rooted in large parts of the population, if people can actually participate in social planning, then they will presumably do so in terms of their own interests. That's why Madison, for example, and Lippmann, and Bernays, and a whole host of others have argued that we cannot permit the population to participate, because if they do, they will pursue their own interests, not the interests of the wealth of the nation. If you have centralized power, they'll use it for their own interests. You don't have to read that in a complicated textbook. It should be understandable by any 10-year-old child, not by educated people, though they have it driven out of their heads, have various illusions replacing self-serving illusions. If the population are participants, they'll serve their own interests. Public opinion is very well studied, so we have a wealth of information about what the public wants. And there's a huge disconnect between public opinion and public policy. The public and policymakers differ enormously on crucial issues. It's all very natural. It's nothing surprising about it, and people understand it. So about 80% of the population in the United States says that the government is run by a few big interests looking out for themselves.
Most of it favorable to them, despite the violence and anti-Semitism. It's really incredible when you think about it. A good number of these people are radicals, no doubt about it, yet they receive gentle treatment from the press. CBS also asks the question, is money and wealth distributed fairly in America? 26% say yes. 66%, two-thirds of the country, say no, that it should be more even. Well, a key word in that question is distributed, because wealth is not distributed in America. There's no central authority that doles out salaries and investment returns. Either earn it, steal it, inherit it, or win the lottery. There's no distribution.
Are you unemployed, hungry, and down to your last dollar? Never fear. S&P Numbers and Stuff is here to help. Our analysts have determined that your problem is your nation's long-term debt. We're an expert rating agency, so we've downgraded U.S. creditworthiness by one panic point. But what about our $2 trillion mathematical error, you say? Never mind. In the time it took you to question our abilities, we've changed our rationale to political analysis. It's the stuff in S&P Numbers and Stuff. Sure, we're financial analysts and bean counters, but we thoroughly monitor and analyze the political pulse by watching television. S&P Numbers and Stuff has a proud history of making the right calls at very nearly the right time. We'll rate anything. Finances, politics, color schemes, relationships. Like that pretty girl next door? We'll send her a AAA rating once you've paid our non-refundable rating fee. And if you act now, we'll throw in not one, not two, but three magical rating rocks. If these rocks fall when dropped, it's time to call us for a custom rating. Thanks to S&P Numbers and Stuff, you're on your way to long-term financial health. Past performance is a guarantee of current results.
The big question is Occupy Wall Street and Tea Party. They're actually equating the two. One is was an organic movement that started across this country without any one definitive leader that just talked about getting spending in order. Right. Occupy Wall Street, you can't get a definition of what they stand for. And
Kilmeade thinks the Tea Party was an organic movement. The Tea Party was funded and organized by righty groups. And there was even an unofficial sponsor promoting the hell out of the Tea Party events.
I love my country, but I fear her corporations.
All that you gave me was a pain in my side. I'd like to fight you, but where would I hide? I'm so sick of cleaning your mess. I hope someday that you just confess.
Oh, mighty 1%. Class warfare, you cry, when clearly it is you that has been waging class war by laying siege on our houses with your army of banks and turned us into refugees. If you did not want us to take to the streets, you should not have foreclosed on our houses. Class warfare, you cry. It is you, oh mighty 1%, that has invaded our pensions, carpet-bombed our job markets, incarcerated our poor, making us prisoners of war and your class war. While it was Wall Street that wrecked our economy, yet no one was convicted. Hell, I'd get convicted if I so much as wrecked my car. I will believe in corporate citizenship when I see a corporation get treated the way they treat me.
Put it in my pocket.
If these corporations want the same rights as citizens, they should have the same accountability as citizens. I know if I perpetrated the crimes these corporations committed, I would be in prison. So I say, let's put the corporations themselves in prison. Some say tax the rich, I say jail the rich. So why are we on the street? How about 15 million people who are upside down on their mortgages get record profits from the bank after the very same people who are upside down on their mortgages bailed the banks out? Our so-called elected leaders have been reduced to the role of doddering greeter at the great Walmart of China. I say, tear down that Wall Street, Mr. Bernanke.
You read the news and you butter your toes. You
All right, so for the last 2 months, we've seen countless examples of people wanting to exercise the freedom of speech and of the press and of their right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Sound familiar? Well, if the Occupy Wall Street movement isn't in fact the embodiment of the First Amendment, I don't know what is. Except it seems on all of those levels, it is now being violated. We just showed you the stories of a few people, but I want to talk now to someone who has been documenting all of this, tracking the various attempts by police and other officials to suppress the press. Josh Stearns is an associate program director at Free Press. He's in Northampton, Massachusetts. Hey there, Josh. How many examples are actually out there of members of the press, of journalists, either being arrested or pepper sprayed or being kept out of the way?
I wish I could count that high, but the number of total press suppression is almost impossible to count at this point. Right now, we know that 26 journalists have been arrested, and 13 of those have been just in the last week in New York.
What we need here is a separation of corporation and state. Otherwise, we could just change the name of the country from the United States of America to the Bank of America. Because it is you, almighty 1%, that has raked in record profits while refusing to pay taxes, calling yourself a job creator. Yeah, you're creating jobs, all right. In third world countries, why do they hate us? No, you're not the job creator. You are the Job creator, as in the book of Job. You, making your wager with the devil, creating doubters amongst the righteous by destroying our possessions and turning our social safety net into a hammock for yourself. We are not the 60s protesters.
Log the following question on our Facebook page. What is your view of the Occupy movements currently spreading worldwide? Are they likely to elicit the desired long-term results? And how can the 99% realistically compete against the resources and power of the 1%?
Thought crime.
Well, briefly, I think they're a pretty fantastic development, actually inspiring development. I mean, if you think about the comments I made at the very end, there has been a, you know, we've been living in a period of a kind of an unprecedented period. After hundreds of years of growth and development, the advanced industrial societies, the United States, Britain, and the lead, have entered into a period of stagnation, decline. It's not the same as American decline of power over the world. That's been going on for a long time. But internal decline for a majority of the population, and also kind of loss of hope. Much less sense of hopefulness than there was. That's quite, doesn't have to happen. These are particular policy choices. Different ones can easily be adopted and thought of. Finally, there's a reaction to it. The Occupy movements are the first major kind of, sort of spontaneous in a way, but now they've expanded and have many features in common. This is the first organized mass popular reaction to a major assault against the populations. And that's got to be important. Now, the very fact that it's taken place has already left, a legacy of change that's going to remain, whatever their outcome is. Now, it's not going to be easy to go on. It's necessary to recognize that victories are not won quickly.
Obviously, there is a new wall that is running down divided America, and it is American media that is being manipulated by the agenda of the state. And the state has become indistinguishable from the corporation. That's why soon it will be the people's webcast tweeting in from someone named Anonymous that tears down the wall. And this time, it's not going to be the Berlin Wall that falls. It will be Wall Street.
Let's be honest. You'll never win the lottery. On the other hand, the chances are pretty good that you'll slave away at some miserable job the rest of your life. That's because you were in all likelihood born into the wrong social class. Let's face it, you're a member of the working caste. Sorry. As a result, you don't have the education, upbringing, connections, manners, appearance, and good taste to ever become one of us. In fact, you'd probably need a book the size of the Yellow Pages to list all the unfair advantages we have over you. That's why we're so relieved to know that you still continue to believe all those silly fairy tales about justice and equal opportunity in America. Of course, In a hierarchical social system like ours, there's never been much room at the top to begin with. Besides, it's already occupied by us. And we like it up here so much that we intend to keep it that way. But at least, there's usually someone lower in the social hierarchy you can feel superior to and kick in the teeth once in a while. Even a lonely dishwasher can easily find some poor slob further down in the pecking order to sneer and spit at. So be thankful for migrant workers, prostitutes, and homeless street people. Always remember that if everyone like you were economically secure and socially privileged like us, there would be no one left to fill all those boring, dangerous, low-paid jobs in our economy, and no one to fight our wars for us or blindly follow orders in our totalitarian corporate institutions, and certainly no one to go meekly to their grave without having lived a full and creative life. So please, keep up the good work. You also probably don't have the same greedy, compulsive drive to possess wealth, power, and prestige that we have. And even though you may sincerely want to change the way you live, you're also afraid of the very change you desire, thus keeping you and others like you in a nervous state of limbo. So you go through life mechanically playing your assigned social role, terrified what others would think should you ever dare to break out of the mold. Naturally, we try to play you off against each other whenever it suits our purposes, high-waged workers against low-waged, unionized against non-unionized, black against white, male against female, American workers against Japanese, against Mexican, against... We continually push your wages down by invoking foreign competition, the law of supply and demand, national security, or the bloated federal deficit. We throw you on the unemployed scrap heap if you step out of line or jeopardize our profits, and to give you an occasional break from the monotony of our daily economic blackmail, we allow you to participate in our stage-managed electoral shell games, better known to you ordinary folks as elections. Happily, you haven't a clue as to what's really happening. Instead, you blame aliens, tree-hugging environmental wackos, niggers, Jew bastards, feminazis, faggots, welfare queens, and countless others for your troubling situation. We're also very pleased that many of you still embrace the work ethic, even though most jobs in our economy degrade the environment, undermine your physical and emotional health, and basically suck your one and only life right out of you. We obviously don't know much about work, but we're sure glad you do. Of course, life could be different. Society could be intelligently organized to meet the real needs of the general population. You and others like you could collectively fight to free yourselves from our domination. But you don't know that. In fact, you can't even imagine that another way of life is possible. And that's probably the greatest, most significant achievement of our system, robbing you of your imagination, your creativity, your ability to think and act for yourself. So we truly like to thank you from the bottom of our heartless hearts. Your loyal sacrifice makes possible our corrupt luxury. Your work makes our system work. Thanks so much for knowing your place without even knowing it.
My Lamborghini's battery went dead. I had to use my wife's Ferrari instead. I got to work and my pilot said, the plane's been grounded, I should have stayed in bed. I got the rich man's blues. Don't wanna be in my shoes. What must I pay to lose? The rich man's blues. When in the bathroom, my toilet was broke. The plumber told me that it wasn't no joke. He'd get it fixed, but he don't know when. Guess I'll use one of my other 10. I got the rich man's blues. these rich man's blues. I've got the blues in my mansion, blues on my yacht, all over my island and down at my dock. It's up in the mountains at my winter retreat. So clap your hands and stomp your feet to the rich man's blues. To the rich man's blues. What do I gotta do to lose this rich man's blues?
We don't have capitalism. There's nothing remotely like it. We have some variety, various varieties of state capitalism, including the USSR. That was one variety of state capitalism. It was based on wage labor, on management control, central coordination of production. In fact, it's in many ways very much like corporate capitalism. Just this different kind of organization. So of the various kinds of state capitalism that are around, which are the best? I don't honestly think that's the kind of question we should be asking. Like in the suppose you're in the 18th century, should you be asking which is the best kind of feudalism? I mean, that's all it was, you know. So which is the best kind of feudalism and slavery and monarchy and so on and so forth? It just wasn't the right question. I mean, the right question is there something better, like, say, parliamentary democracy, even though there were no examples of it? And there were seeds of it, but there were no functioning examples. I mean, seeds of it had been developed and usually crushed, as in England, but these were legitimate struggles. And, you know, they succeeded. I mean, by now you have parliamentary democracies, which aren't fantastic, but are better than feudalism. Worker self-management in industry. I mean, I don't have any law that says you can't, you know, law of nature that says you can't, or law of history. And I think that'd be a lot better than management control. Can you have something better than the state capitalist institutions that we have? Yeah, we can design lots of others. In fact, we can go back to the workers in the mills in Lawrence, Mass, who took for granted that those who work in the mills should own them and should run them, and should run them democratically. Is that so outlandish? And you can say the same about communities and so on.
The problem is that many Americans simply don't understand what's at stake here. The Occupy Wall Street movement is basically socialistic. It essentially wants a government to control who gets what. There's no question that capitalism isn't perfect or fair. Some people who get wealthy do so by exploiting workers. That's always happened. But the alternative is Cuba or Greece. Do Americans really want that? And who exactly are the bad guys here? Steve Jobs? He died holding $7 billion in assets. Is he a villain? Bill Gates, worth $59 billion. See a bad guy? How about old Warren Buffett, $39 billion on his sheet? Do we hate him? Do you despise Leonardo DiCaprio for earning $77 million in a 12-month period? How about Tiger Woods? He brought in $75 million last year. Should these people be put in jail? Should the government go to their houses and take their stuff? The primary goal of the occupiers is to demonize capitalism. Again, most Americans don't understand that, but it's true, and it's right before our eyes.
From the makers of Rage-X comes Contagion-X. If you think you've been exposed to contagious sovereign infection, Contagion X is for you. Sovereign transmitted debts don't have to be embarrassing or keep you from other financial relationships. You can stay on top by protecting yourself with Contagion X. Rest easy. Even if you've engaged in risky foreign exchange swaps or been with numerous indebted foreign partners, Contagion X works by releasing a powerful dose of austerity on troublesome workers, reducing your risk of financial infection so your wealth can be preserved. Ask your central banker if Contagion X is right for you. Contagion X is most effective when used 100% of the time on the other 99%. In certain cases, Contagion X has resulted in riots, defaults, fallen governments, and civil unrest. Unemployment, recession, and economic impotence are likely to occur with the use of Contagion X. In German clinical trials, some bankers have experienced delusions and hallucinations. And in some extreme cases, Contagion X may destroy the very monetary union it is attempting to save. If you're a Wall Street bank exposed to European banks who are exposed to infected nations who are exposed to Wall Street banks, Contagion X is for you. Contagion X. Just because it's your fault doesn't mean others can't suffer for you.
Available at central banks everywhere.
But today's protesters, we don't buy anything. We don't shop at the Gap. We boycott Coca-Cola. We run Walmart out of town. So why are we in the street? How about 24 million people unemployed in spite of record profits from major corporations? And those lucky enough to find a job, find your CEO makes 350 times what they do. It's like Julio Crisco said, I have no issue with those doing something useful making 100 times more money than me. But I have many issues with those who produce nothing, make others homeless and poor, scam the entire world, and make 10,000 times more money than I do. That must go along with the insane system that makes it possible.
Every day is Unblock Mental Constipation Day at Slacker's Coffee House, 20 Main Street, Yorkville. Mental constipation is a very serious problem in our community. Our aim is to loosen the sludgy, calcified, preconceived notions that burden people of all backgrounds and persuasions. Many people retain thoughts that might have been fresh and valid at one time, but which now serve to block any further awareness. They are stymied by cherished generalizations, frozen into mental stagnancy by long-held prejudices. It is our objective to purge and free up the thought processes with laughter, light, music, art, and the encouragement of simple awareness. There is only one way to look at an issue, and that is from all sides. Once the brain is unencumbered by sludge, the truth is more likely to be perceived. What are you afraid of? Come in for your complimentary brain enema. You'll be glad you did. Slacker's Coffee House, 20 Main Street, Yorkville, 736-1931.
Thought crime is a dreadful thing.
We live in what is essentially a slave society, where most people must submit the majority of their lives to unfulfilling, demeaning employment within an oppressive hierarchy. The big lie of our society that AIMS is challenging is that people freely take employment. A choice between degradation and starvation is not a free choice, a point made by the anarchist theorist Mikhail Bakunin in the 19th century. Might we not understand consumerist obsession as a form of compensation for this lack of real freedom? One has very little control over the important things, and the quest for consumer goods can be seen as a sort of pacifier, in the way that a baby's pacifier allows her to engage in the motions of suckling without deriving any real nutrition. A white-collar cubicle slave is unlikely to escape from employment to freedom, but she can go shopping, and in the act of buying or not buying, have the momentary sensation of agency. Might this be an explanation for the phenomenon of compulsive shopping, where people run up massive debts buying things they don't need and ultimately don't even really care that they own, since they do not satisfy and more is needed? This then serves to bind them more closely to their servitude as their debts leave them little breathing room.
Welcome to the police state, where the walls wait and the sheep can barely eat, but the minds are free. Warning signs, but they're too late, so the rifles wait. Take what's theirs. Find the color.